Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
We glorify you, King of Kings, Father, this evening, O Father, as we congregate, Lord. We pray that your name shall be exalted, Father God. Because, King of Kings, there is none like you, Lord. We have come to you, Father, Lord, and the Bible says that whoever comes to you must believe that you are. And, Father, Lord, we come believing that you are. You are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you, my Father, Lord. May we be rewarded this evening, O Father God. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we pray that your word, as your word comes, my Father, Lord, you will sharpen our ears to hear. The King of Kings, as you say in your word, let he who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, speak, O Father, Lord. King of Kings, we come. We have emptied ourselves of ourselves, and we want you to fill us with you, my God. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, and we ask all this through the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And somebody says amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 10, there is none like you. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. His name is great in might. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 2, the Bible says, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides him. Nor is there any rock like our Lord. This evening we have come to none other than the God of all gods, the glorious God. There is none like him. There is no God beside him. Even this evening he will touch that area in your life that has remained stubborn. He will remove mountains even this evening. He will heal even this evening. He will deliver even this evening. He is God all by himself. And we know we are going to come to him with like the Hebrew boys came, the three Hebrew boys who were thrown into the furnace, saying, if the Lord comes through for us, let him come. Even though he does not come through for us, we will still worship him. That is the mentality that with which we come before him. But we know that when we come before him, he is there. Hallelujah. He is there for us. And even this evening, he is there for us in the name above every other name. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout amen. I'm excited about you. I'm excited about your life. I'm excited about what God is about to do in your life, what is about to do in your family, what is about to do in your career, in the name, what is about to do in your ministry. Hallelujah. God is about to do awesome stuff. Whenever you see the enemy coming in like a flood, as the Bible says, you know that around the corner, God is about to lift up a standard. May that standard come in your life right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Regarding that area that you have been waiting for, may the Lord come through for you like never before in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. This evening, I just want us to talk about our walk with the Lord. How is your walk with the Lord? How is my walk with the Lord? God wants to challenge us in that very, 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 very area. He wants us to. He wants our walk to be the way he expects us to walk. Hallelujah. At times, we walk anyhow. We walk anyhow, and as Christians, we cannot just walk anyhow. The Bible says in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 15. What does he say? He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Bless you. See, you have got to see, I have got to see that I am walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. There are those who walk anyhow. You and I are not meant to walk anyhow. You are meant to walk circumspectly. Hallelujah. Paul speaks to the Ephesians again in chapter 4, verse 17. If I can draw attention to there, chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4:17, we'll be going there shortly. If you can, please turn your Bibles to that portion of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Hallelujah. And this is what he says. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must, it's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It is a must. It is a command. You and I must walk according to Christ. He says, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? You cannot walk like the other people are doing. You cannot walk like like your colleagues at work are walking. You cannot walk as your family, you know, the members of your family that are not born again the way they walk. When you are at parties, you cannot behave like they behave just because they are family or just because they are your friends, those peers of yours. That's why we have to be very careful, the people that we choose to be around us. Because at times we want to blend in. We want to walk like them. When you begin to become the odd man out, they know how to laugh at you. You know, they know how to tell you, but you can drink a little, you know. Because most of them are drinking alcohol around you. And let me tell you, this word has just come. It's not a joke. Most Christians today are walking like the Gentiles do. Do you understand? Yes. But you can drink a little. Even Jesus turned water into wine. They have got all these scriptures. Do you understand? Oh, but you can have a boyfriend and you can have a little sex here and there. You walk like them. He says, remember what he says, we have to walk circumspectly, not as fools. Do you understand? People who do not walk according to the will of God, according to the ways of God, are fools. This is not me speaking this word. This is in the Bible. They are fools. Do you understand? You and I have got to walk circumspectly, wisely. Do you understand, child of God? He says, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer. Which means you used to walk like the Gentiles, you used to walk like those guys who do not know you, but right now you can no longer walk as the Gentiles do. And he says, he uses that word that I testify. I think if you read 1 Thessalonians, you can write that down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. He speaks about this again as he's speaking to the Thessalonians. This is Paul again. He says, we, meaning him, Paul, and his team, and the other apostles, this is what they used to do wherever they went. He says, we exhorted each one of you. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. We exhorted each one of you. Number one, they exhorted them. And number two, he says, and encouraged you. And number three, he says, and charged you. So this evening, God is exhorting us, and he's encouraging us, and he's charging us to do what? To walk in a manner that is worthy of God. Walk in a manner that is worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. You want to be a kingdom child? You want to be a glorious child? We can no longer walk like the Gentiles do. You understand, child of God? And in verse 8, he says, in the futility of their minds, in the futility of their minds, in the futility of their minds, we cannot walk like them in the futility of their minds. You In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, you just write these scriptures down. Unfortunately, I don't have notes for all this, so you've got to listen carefully. But I'm recording a video, so I will put it out for you guys to watch later. So Romans chapter 1, verse 21. This is, I'm just speaking this off the fly, you know, as the Lord leads. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, For although they knew God. Oh my God, this is a very dangerous scripture, child of God. Although they knew God, like some of us know God, they did not honor him. How do you honor God? There are many ways of honoring God, but one of the ways of honoring God is walking in a manner that is worthy of him. Do you understand, child of God? Yesterday is gone. We may have walked in a manner that is unworthy of him yesterday. But going forward, we can no longer walk in that manner. We can no longer walk like our peers. We can no longer walk like, you know, as the Gentiles, the people that surround us, our colleagues do. We cannot walk like them. The things that they do, we cannot do them. There are some things that they do. You know what I'm talking about. We cannot do them. We cannot disappear into the week and get into a sea of sin, a sea of walking anyhow, or sea of walking like fools, and just come up on a Sunday, just like submarines, to begin to pretend that we are walking in circumspectly. No. It is a walk. The walk is when we talk about walk, we're talking about lifestyle. My lifestyle, your lifestyle, has got to reflect God. You understand, child of God? So he's saying in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, for although they knew God, he's talking about the Gentiles, they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. We need to honor him as God. How? There are many ways, like I said, but paramount of them is walking in a manner that is worthy of him. Giving thanks to him. This is what he said. But they became futile in their thinking. They became empty in their thinking. Thinking or thoughts that are outside of God are futile. They are empty. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their foolish hearts were darkened. If we know God, I want to suppose that we know God here. If we know God, but yet do not honor him with our lifestyle, with our walk, and do not give him thanks, why should we give him thanks? Because everything that we are is him. The Bible says in him we live, we move, and have our being. Never forget that. Do you understand? Wherever you are right now, I'm sad. It's because of him. He's watching over me. Time will come when you go to bed. When you're in bed, it's like you are dead. But somehow you wake up in the morning, and some of us think it's automatic. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. That's why we need to give him thanks. All we know how to do is to complain to him. You wake up and complaining, and he's thinking, when will you ever appreciate what you have? We overlook, we tend to get familiar with God. You get familiar with the fact that you are breathing. Never get familiar with that fact. Never. The Gentiles think that for them they are thinking because they are smart, or they are working because they are smart, or because they are educated, because they have got the money. My friend, never get too familiar to forget that it is in him that you do what? You live and move and have your being. That's why you need to give him thanks. Do not complain to the Lord. The children of Israel, who were supposed to get into the promised land after 11 days, after crossing the Red Sea, they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. And reason number one is complaining, grumbling. If you grumble, if you complain, you cut yourself off the promise. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are grumbling and complaining. Cut them off the promise. The promise is, the promises of God are yes and amen. That's what we take. We just say yes and amen. Whether they come today, whether they come tomorrow, the answer continues to be yes and amen. And because for them, yes, they did not say yes and amen to the promises of God. They were not thankful to whatever he had given them. They were not thankful that they were no longer slaves. They were no longer in chains. They were no longer building cities for the Egyptians. They were no longer making mortar out of dirt and all, using straws. They were not thankful. God made sure that whole generation died, never saw the promised land, except two guys who saw the possibility. Joshua and Caleb. Child of God, give thanks. Do you know God? If you know God, you know that God will do anything. He is able. That is what you need to know. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that you ask or think or imagine. He is able. And if he has not done it yet, then that does not mean that he's not able. If he has not done it yet, that means it doesn't mean that he's not going to do it. If he has not done it yet, does not mean that you've got to begin complaining and calling and throwing tantrums. No. The moment you need to thank him for what you have, and to thank him for the promises even. Hallelujah. Not like the people who know God, that's how they behave. But those who do not know God, they dishonor him and they never give him thanks. They begin to get futile in their thinking. You begin to cook up your own ways, to come up with your own ways, to fashion your own ways, to fabricate your own ways, and that is futile. Do you understand? So he says that these guys, they knew God, but they did not honor him, and did not give him thanks. And the thinking of their minds was futile, and their hearts were darkened. He called them foolish hearts. Foolish hearts. Remember what he told us in Ephesians chapter 5:15. He says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Amen. Their hearts were darkened. Their hearts were darkened. Our hearts cannot be darkened. You must no longer walk in the manner in which the Gentiles walk. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 1, verse 18, he speaks about the futile ways as well. He says, knowing that you were ransomed. Do you know that you are ransomed from futile ways? He says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with the perishable things such as silver and gold. You were not bought with silver and gold. You were bought with the precious blood of the Lamb out of the futility of our forefathers. That's why he says, now I testify and I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Verse 18, it says, they are darkened in their understanding. Because they are walking in the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding. They think their understanding is enlightened, but as a matter of fact, it is darkened. It is darkened. And he says, they are not only is it darkened, but they are also alienated from the life of God, from the life of God. You cannot be cut off from the life of God. Remain tuned into the life of God. Remember what he said, remain in me, and if my words remain in you, then you are my children. Then you are my disciples. A tree or a branch that is out of the tree will die. It will die. God is the tree of life. If we walk according to the Gentiles, then we have cut ourselves out of the tree. out of the life of God. The life of God. The life of God has got to be flowing in you. A branch remains a branch, and it becomes fruitful because it is connected to the tree. It is connected to the resources. It is connected to the roots that are digging, that are siphoning the resources from the ground and passing them on to the branches. That's why the branches can be fruitful. Are we together, friends? You need to be connected, to remain connected to God in your walk. So these guys, he talks about the Gentiles, they are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance. The word is ignorance. We are not ignorant of God. We know God. And because we know God, we cannot walk as the ignorant. We cannot walk as fools. We can't. You understand? And he said, and he gives a reason why all this is happening. He says they are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Why? Due to their hardness of heart. Due to their hardness of heart. Today, what is the condition of your heart? What is the condition of your heart? The children of Israel, most of them disappeared. An entire generation was killed in the desert. Do you know why? Because God's complaint all the time, whenever he was speaking to Moses, do you know how he would refer to them? Anybody? How would he refer to the children of Israel whenever he was talking to Moses? Anybody? He used to use these words. They are a stiff-necked people. They're stiff. God wants you to be flexible. He wants to if he comes to turn your head to the left, he wants you to be pliable. But if you are too rigid, you will snap. Do you understand? When the wind of God blows, he wants you to flow. He wants you to bend. He wants you to be flexible. He's talking about hardened hearts. And hardened hearts, Jesus spoke about them in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. He spoke about hardened hearts. Hallelujah. And he used this talking about the Pharisees. He said their hearts are so hardened. He looked at them, and he was about to heal. There was this guy whose hand was lame, and he was about to heal him. And for them, they were, you know what they were concerned about? They were concerned about the Sabbath. You remember the man with the withered hand? Jesus approaches him, accosts him, and he's about to heal this man, and it's on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees are annoyed because he's about to heal this man on the Sabbath. They were too tied to tradition. That is the stiff neck I'm talking about. They were more concerned of a tradition than a condition of a man. And Jesus has come to heal the condition of the man. What is more important, the tradition or the condition of the man? The condition of the man. And when he says, come here to the man, they say, oh, there we go again. Now he's about to heal him. Doesn't he know it is unlawful, you know, on a Sabbath day to do good or harm? I mean, rather to heal somebody on a Sabbath. And Jesus Christ said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? He asked them this question. The Bible says they were silent. And then he looked around. The Bible says he looked around. He looked around. Just not looking around. He looked around at them with anger. Jesus Christ was angry. Can you imagine angering Jesus? He was angry because these guys were stiff-necked. They were just like this. There was this mold in which they were molded, and they did not want to come out. Jesus Christ came to break molds. Even this evening, there's a mold that is breaking in our lives. Do you understand, child of God? He says, are you too concerned about the tradition, about this man? He was angry and he grieved. The Bible says he was angry and grieved at the hardness of their hearts. And he ignored them and told this man, stretch out your hand. And the man was healed. Hallelujah. Are we together, friends? God wants us to walk circumspectly, not like the Gentiles do. The Gentiles who have hardened their hearts. That's why we preach and preach and preach and preach. But does the word sink? You know how he talked about, Jesus Christ talked about the parable of the sower. He was talking about these soils, hard hearts. Your heart, child of God, has got to be soft. And verse 19, he says, they have become callous. They have become callous. Their hearts have become callous. Being callous is something, is like you're not care, you don't care. Some of us don't care any about anything these days. You don't care. But we need to change. We need to change. It says they have become callous and they have given themselves up. They have given themselves up. Remember the Bible in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. What does he say? He says, present your bodies. Present your bodies as what? As living sacrifices. You put your bodies on the altar. But the Gentiles, the people who do not know Christ, or those who know Christ, but refuse to honor him, like some of us do, what happens? He says that they have given their life, they have given themselves up to sensuality and greedy, and they have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Do you understand? But then verse 20 is a powerful verse. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Very powerful verse. He says, but this is not the way you learned Christ. Child of God, that is not the way we learned Christ. We did not learn Christ by giving ourselves to sensuality and to greed. No, we and to practice every kind of impurity. No, we learned Christ by living and walking away from all those that kind of lifestyle. In other words, getting hold of our appetites, getting hold of this body and putting it on the altar as a living sacrifice. That is who you are. That is who I am. That is how I should live my life. Do you understand? And he says, but this is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and we are taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To do what? Number 22. To put off your old self. To put off your old self. The old you. How much of the old is in you? How much of the old you is in me? Or the old me is in me right now, rather. How much of the old you is in you? He said you've got to get hold of the old you and put him off. Off. As a matter of fact, I would add, just throw him away. Because if you just put him off, we have got the mentality of going back and putting him on. And that's what happens. We know how to go back and put him on. You know, the anger that we had last year, we go back and we go back for it. No. He says, put off your old self. Put off your old self, which belongs where? To your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. It belongs to the former. It belongs to the past. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm here to remind us that yesterday is gone. From today, we can turn a new leaf and start a new journey and start a new walk of life. We can put off the old man. I can put off the old anger. I can put off the old idiosyncrasies. I can put off the old mannerisms right now. I can put off the old sin, the old desires, in the name of the old sensuality. This evening, I can put it aside and start afresh. Do you understand? It says putting away all the desires, the deceitful desires. They are deceitful. These desires are deceitful. And then it says to do what? How to do, to replace it with what? And to put and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. To be renewed in the spirits of your mind. This evening, may you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. May you be, I speak renewal in Jesus' awesome name. When we talk about renewal, there's something that has expired. Once it's expired, it's no longer in use. It's to know if you drive a car with an expired insurance straight away, the police will flag you and you will be stopped. That's why you need to renew it. So some of us are walking on past graces. You know, we are walking on this evening is an evening of renewal. Renewing your walk. Do you understand? Renew your walk with him. Renew your walk with Christ. He says, renewing the spirit of your minds. Did you know that your mind has got a spirit? And it needs renewing. That's why he says, you know, his mercies are new every morning. They are new every morning. Yesterday's mercies cannot take you in today's. That's why you need to be praying. That's why you need to be asking God for more every other morning. That's why we have got morning glory. We have got all these glories, glory, glory. Well, what are we doing right now this evening? This evening we are renewing the spirits of our minds. And then it says, and to put on a new self. Remove the old and put on the new. Remove the old lifestyle and put on the new. Put on the new. It is, you know, it's a travesty for somebody to buy you new clothes. And then for you, instead of putting on the new clothes, you want to keep on putting on the old ones. Do you know how annoying that is? I one of my sons, I think he used to do that many years ago. You would buy him something new, but there would be this trouser that he likes. This trouser he has been putting it on for months. You just wait for him downstairs to go to church and he's in this trouser. And you're asking yourself, but what about the new one? What happened to the new one? And then he says, I like it. It's because I like it. You know, some of us like the old lifestyle. We like a little bit of Jesus, but we also love the old. We're in love with the old. The old music. The old music still does it for you. The old friends still do it for you. Let me tell you, when I got born again, for me, I became radical. I walked away from all those guys with whom I used to drink. Literally, I walked away. Do you know why I did that? Because if I did not, I put off the old and did not give myself room to put on the old again. Because if I hanged around these guys, guess what? I would get a little bit of Jesus, but yet also continue drinking. So I said, no, that lifestyle is gone. That chapter is gone. And today I can tell you that none of them is still breathing. None of them is still breathing. I'm breathing because of his grace. Do you understand? You cannot stick to the old dresses, the old, when I'm talking about dresses, I'm talking, you know, spiritually. You cannot talk about, hold on to the old, you know, the old attire, the old clothes, when God has given you a new one. He has given you his character. He has given you his walk. You cannot keep on walking in the old way. Some of us want to walk in two ways. You cannot walk in two ways. It's like a person riding two horses, the old one and the new one, the black one and the white one. You cannot ride two horses. You will get split up. Jesus Christ says you cannot serve mammon and God. You can't. You can't serve both. One of you, you will become one of them will overwhelm you. You will become a slave to one of them. You understand? He says, so to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new life. It's not just a new life, it is the new life. The new life. To put on the new life, which is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness. The new life. Manderebro shikarabanderebo. The new life. He speaks about the new life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that would be our last scripture. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Paul speaks to the Romans and says, we were buried with him by baptism into death. What was buried in him by baptism into death? The old self. When you were baptized, if you have not been baptized under this line, you need to be baptized. You need to tell me. You need to talk to me. You need to be baptized. Says so you are baptized. That baptism, when you go into the water, the old self is, you know, you enter into the water with the old, and you leave the old in that water. And as you get out of that water, symbolically, this is what he says, symbolically, you are raised into a new glory. You understand? He says in this chapter 6, verse 4, and we were buried therefore with him in baptism into death. Into death. That means the old man must have died. You cannot be sick. Child of God, I don't understand how you can still be that angry, like the same person you were, you know, before. You can't. I don't understand it. You are still the same gossiper. You are still the same, you know, slanderer. You are still the same hater. You hate like, as a matter of fact, right now you are hating even more. How can that be? It cannot happen. That means you never died. He says, we were by baptism into death. That's how we were buried with him. But in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in the newness of life. In the newness of life, child of God. In the new self is the newness of life. People must see you and see a difference. There are some people who will never read the Bible, but they will read you. They will read you. They will read you. By reading, you'll say, my God, if God changed the chief and who was a drunkard and did that, and you know, there's a God. I want to become like him. The Bible says the time is coming when people will cling to your clothes and say, take me to that God of yours. May you be changed. May you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, that people may see you, your family may see, your brothers and sisters may see you and say, my God, there is something that happened to Naomi. There is something that happened to Celine. There is nothing that happened to Catherine. There is something that happened. There is something that happened to Florence. There is something that happened. Something happened. And I want that. That one, I want it. I want it. I want it, and they so that they may come and say, what happened? What happened? What happened to you? You used to be annoyed. You used to be this and this, but no, I have noticed a change. What happened? And then you say, come on, come with me. Come with me. So you bring them to the Lord. You bring them to your God. May that happen to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. See, Ephesians chapter 5, 15 again. See that you walk circumspectly. Not as foolish, but as the wise. Father, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We glorify your name in the name above every other name. Mandere brojika rabondere. This evening, my Father, Lord, I choose to put off every old self of me, everything in the past that has been clinging upon me, Father, in the name above every name, I cut it off. I can no longer walk like the Gentiles do, my Father, Lord, in the futility of their mind, my Father, God. King of kings, my Father, Lord, my heart cannot be darkened in Jesus' mighty name. I cannot walk according to the former self, my Father, Lord. In the name above every name, I refuse, my Father, Lord, to give my body, oh Father, to sensualities of the world, to greed of the world. My Father, Lord, greedy to do the all impurities, my Father, Lord, I refuse that status quo in Jesus' mighty name. Father, rather, I bring my spirit unto you, Lord. I bring my body unto you, Lord, and I put it at the altar, King of kings, oh Father, Lord, King of kings, that Father, Lord of glory, I may be renewed in my mind, that I put on the new self, my Father God, that I may walk in the newness of life in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website www.shiloh.org.uk, and don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.